I love to tell the story of unseen things.
With blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Surely you must fight, keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight, be brave
against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use the soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight, be brave
against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight,
be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Thank you.
the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory.
I'm telling you, it gets hot down there. I mean, like Jesse says, it's Africa hot down there, man. And it gets... Are you listening to me? Because it's right there on the coast. It gets muggy. And that's what it takes to kill this thing. It hates heat. It hates humidity. It hates water. It just dies. I hollered at the top of my voice, in the name of Jesus, you get back up there where you belong. Way up it went. I messed us up. Man.
Kind of reminds you of this a little bit.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero.
That's kind of what it reminds you of. We won't listen to that rock song, but we'll take that off of there. But anyway, that's kind of what it reminds you of. You know, the Word Faith movement, they are always at it, and COVID is no exception, as they continue to... push their witchcraft. And I'm reviewing this because it's necessary to remind people how absolutely stupid and how full of witches and wicked and abominable in the sight of God the charismatic movement really is. It is the haven of hell. It is the witch's brew. It is the coven of witches. It is the house of devils. It is the cage of every foul beast. It is the most wicked and vile thing that you can ever imagine. That is the charismatic movement. So let me take you back to March and April when he spoke his witchcraft into existence, yet it didn't work.
Friday night at 9:24. Now, Gloria, in my usual routine, is we go to bed early and listen to a couple of messages by Brother Hagin, watch the 700 Club, and by, 10:30, turn the light out. Well, we had just listened to Brother Hagin, that first message, and suddenly the word of the Lord came to me.
I mean suddenly, just like that, just smacked him upside his head.
So I jumped up, ran, got my notepad, and wrote it down. 9:24. This disease called COVID-19 will be over much sooner than you think. Christian people all over this country praying have overwhelmed it. Give me all the glory, saith the Spirit of grace. And many, many people will come to know me through it. I'm still Lord over this nation. I'm on the throne, and faith in me changes things.
Glory. Well, anyway, it didn't change anything from his perspective as far as what he said. Right? Because that didn't change. But that doesn't stop the Word of Faith movement. That didn't stop them. And now I'm going to show you today that I absolutely believe this is nothing more than witchcraft. That these people are witches, for sure. They are witches. I believe that. And I don't hesitate to pull any punches when it comes to who these people are. The tongue-speaking, charismatic movement that masks itself and hides itself as Christianity is nothing more than a cove of witches. So, twice he blew COVID-19, and twice nothing happened, but it got worse. So I don't know if he was fanning the flames of it. Now, you and I understand it's a virus. I don't think it's any more than that, than what they're making it out to be. That's what I've seen. However, it didn't blow the virus out. Kenneth's mojo did not work. Now, let me just take a break for a second here and just say, yeah, congratulations to Aaron and Rachel. Baby Berea was born on, I think it was it Saturday morning? I think it was Saturday morning. All the days run together, but Saturday morning. And mom and baby are home and doing well, and we thank God for that. And so you keep praying for them. And as the Lord continues to bless, and amen, we've got, I think 3 or 4 more. My wife is with child. I'm pretty sure there's 2 or 3 others that are with child right now too. So, we have quite a few, and we thank God for it. The Lord is building an army to take over the next generation. Now, the Bible never says anywhere that we are to activate angels, that our words activate angels, and that we need to activate the power, angelic power, to work for us, that we should be speaking to these angels and all that stuff. Now, you're going to hear some stories here And I'm fast-forwarding it through a bunch of his mumbo-jumbo. It's all really mumbo-jumbo. I'm going to actually show you accounts of witches that say the same thing that Copeland says. They pretty much say the same thing. But basically, the teaching of the Word Faith movement is that if you just form words, you know, if you speak negativity into your life, then that's what's going to happen to you. But if you speak positive words, then healing and positive and riches. I'm going to get to another video I want to show you if I have time today. And I think we do. We got a couple hours. So I want to show you another video where Gloria Copeland is basically saying that all she did was imagine her house, imagine it being paid for, put it into her mind to do it. And it manifested and came to pass because of her faith. Now, that doesn't sound like faith. That sounds like magic. It sounds like devils are working with them. And that's exactly. So, as we look at it, yeah, law of attraction, witchcraft. I've not studied that phrase, law of attraction. I think that's what the same thing that you're talking about, though, is the same thing I am. But, yeah. So, this is a recent broadcast from him. But the thing is that what they're teaching is witchcraft. And the demonic appearances that they are having, nowhere are we told to talk to these angels. And how do you know they're angels from the Lord? And how do you know they're even telling you the truth? It says that we might come into angels unawares, but we're not to be actively seeking angelic help directly through them. And what he describes here to me is actually a devil, to be honest with you. That's what I think he's describing it, are devils. And remember how they come. See, Satan's most deceptive and dangerous place, his most deceptive and dangerous place, his most deceptive and dangerous position is coming as an angel of light. Right? And we've talked about these verses many times, but it's important that we talk about them again so we understand. And no marvel. He says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I'll tell you what, I get a lot of demonic opposition when I talk about this. When I expose these devils for what they really are, as they make merchandise of God's people, I get a lot of flack from them. And a lot of people get upset. They don't like the fact that I call out these devils like Kenneth Copeland. All of them, and like Joyce Meyer, Todd Bentley, Creflo Dollar. all these people, they don't like them being called out. But I'm telling you, it's that phony Christianity that's destroying churches today. Because they're phony, they're not real. And they're so deceptive. The way they speak and the way they talk, I can understand why people would fall for it. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Whose end shall be according to their works. Now, given the light of that, the Bible also warns us First John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, I believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. I'm here to tell you, God doesn't want everybody rich. God doesn't want you wealthy and rich and always healthy. I'm going to tell you why God doesn't want you always healthy and rich and all that. And sometimes he allows you to have financial problems. He allows you to have sickness and he allows you to have that. So you'll call upon him and you'll seek his face, because in prosperity, most people don't seek God's face. And we know that prosperity sometimes brings a leaven in with it. Many times Christians are nearest a fall, a very grievous fall, when they are very prosperous financially or even super prosperous spiritually in that sense. And they have peace around about them. Many times they're in for a fall because they're not vigilant. And they take for granted the goodness of God in the land of the living. So then God allows them to be afflicted with some suffering and some sickness. Now that's not always. But there are many times that God does allow it. But these guys would have you to believe that it's all sunshine and rainbows and puppy dogs. That there's never supposed to be a cloudy day. That the clouds are never supposed to be there. That God never has a rainy day intended for you. That God never has darkness intended for you. And that's not true. These men are all about money. They're all about finances. They're all about, their covenant is a covenant of money and of prosperity. It is not a covenant of being saved by the grace of God and walking in the fear of the Lord. It's a God wants you to be rich scheme. And I'm sorry, I'm going to put Dave Ramsey and a bunch of those other guys in there that talk of this. The way they talk is that God never wanted anybody to have any challenges in life, that he always wanted them to have money, that he always wanted them to have everything and be debt-free all the time and all this other stuff. And that's the way it is. And I'm just not, I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'm going to answer from BK Jammin, whatever they said there. Love comes from God. You need him. Do you make your children suffer pain to make them close to you? God does put sickness on you. The devil does that. God doesn't put sickness on you. The devil does. No, that's not true. The devil doesn't always put sickness on you. He might use the devil to put sickness on you. As Paul said, that it was a gift from God that he received a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. See, I got my theology straight. I understand what the Bible says. I understand that God allows his prophets to be sick. God allows his people to be sick sometimes. And God uses suffering. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And let me tell you something, friend. You ain't taking that away from me. You're not taking away from me the suffering that God allowed me to go through and has allowed me to go through to make me the man that he's made me to be and continues to make me to be. You'll never, you and your devils and your charismatic lies and your nonsense will never be able to change the work of the Holy Ghost in a man. You can't change it. You can't take that away. Nobody can. That's the work of God. And God uses it. He spanks his own children. He chastens his own. But these guys would have you to believe something that's a lie. They would have you believe something that is not true. Well, if you have all these problems, you must not have any faith because people with faith don't have all these problems. Well, you'll be hard-pressed to find that in the book of Job. You'll be hard-pressed to find that with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane who sweat drops of blood. You'd be hard-pressed to find that when David was stuck in a hold somewhere in the book of Psalms. You'll be hard-pressed to find that when you look at Heman and you look at the other men that suffered very greatly, and great Asaph and others that suffered very greatly. But see, these witches teach something different. Now I'm going to pick it up at about 4 minutes here into this video. Because this is going to really start to explain what he's teaching here.
What a language. I love it. So here's what I did. You notice things is in italics. Mm-hmm. He satisfies my mouth with good words so that my youth is renewed like the angels. And you go down here. Oh,
it's supposed to be eagles.
Oh, man, he's merciful. He's gracious.
Your youth renewed like the eagles. Actually, I preached an entire series on this chapter. Expository preaching on Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And he talks about here, he said, Lord, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Okay, I just want to prove him wrong real quick. Okay? And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. The Lord struck the child. And he was, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. It doesn't say Satan struck him. It says, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Look, I'm going to try to be as kind as I can here. You ought to sit down. You ought to shut your mouth, and you ought to listen to Bible instruction, because you have been deceived by a bunch of devils. Moving right along to one of the king devils right now. Okay? One of the king devil-possessed men.
He's slow to anger. Plenteous in hesed. He will not always chide, and so forth and so on. Now, come over here in verse 17.
This guy is such a witch. Oh. Just the way he talks and the way he does it, he is such a witch. It just makes my skin crawl. Because I can see how sinister he is. He's one of the only charismatics that actually does use the Bible. He actually does use it. He just uses it maliciously. He deals with the Word of God deceitfully. Isn't that interesting? That word deceitfully is 11 times in the King James Bible. Think about that. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
But the Hessian.
By the way, this is the most dangerous type of man that takes the word of God and applies it deceitfully.
...of the Lord is from everlasting yes. to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant. Mm-hmm. that keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word.
Yes, sir.
Coming out of your mouth.
That's it. No, that's not what it says. Stop. Whoa, hold the phone. Listen to this, devil. It does not say that my word, what I say, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. God's word. God's word. That do his pleasure. Right? Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Not my pleasure. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not me speaking things into existence, but God's will to be done. He just twisted that.
Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word.
Yes, sir.
Coming out of your mouth.
That's it.
That's not what he said. Did you see that? If you pay attention to what he said, he just twisted scripture. He read all those verses in that 103rd Psalm. And then he twisted it. He changed the meaning of God's word. He no longer spoke anything near the King James Bible.
Woo. Forgive me, but I got a shout coming on me. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
By the way, was that guy thinking wearing that shirt right there? What was he thinking? Anyway.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's what they're listening for, is the word of God coming out our mouth.
No, they're not. Angels aren't sitting around waiting for us to command them. They are whose ministers? Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host. Ye his host. The angels. Ye ministers of his. That do his pleasure. See that? You pay attention to what's happening there, and he's a serpent. And the serpent just twisted. I like to think it's Paul Washer that said, twist not scripture lest you be like Satan. When they say, judge not lest you be judged, his response was, twist not scripture lest you be like Satan. Amen.
They react to it.
You know Ed Dufresne.
Yes, sir.
So what he's saying basically is that, well, the the angels are waiting to react to your word. The angels are waiting to react to your words. No, they're not. They're God's ministers. They're not my ministers. Now, God may use them to protect me and to do different things, but that's God's bidding. They don't do my bidding. My friends, you have got to be discerning in these days. You have got to show others and how to be discerning, because this is the biggest twist of Scripture.
Ed Dufresne's in heaven today. I miss him, I got to tell you. What a prophet of God.
What a prophet of God. Now you listen to this story that he's about to tell. Let me back up a little bit. So last night I go home a little bit early, and you know, then we normally get home on Sunday night. And I'm, you know, towards the end of the night after the family goes to bed, I'm watching a little bit of, I looked on Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland, and I'm listening to what they're saying. And I'm like, these people are such witches. It's just so wicked what they're saying. And when you listen to him talk about this guy and this story, all you can think of is, it's like a seance. It's not that much different than Saul going to the Witch of Endor.
I wish I had time to talk about it, Ed. Oh, man. Anyway, they had some real trouble financially. They had a loan on the church, and it was a balloon note. Mm-hmm. They were making payments up so forth, and now they had to have $300,000, and they had to have it now. Mm. Anyway, or the property that the bank wanted the property back. They're just looking for an excuse to take it away from him. Anyway, he was praying and believing for that. So he was...
He was praying and believing for that. I mean, it just sounds so foreign to the Scriptures to talk like that, to say that in that way. As if your belief will materialize something. Not the will of God, but your belief is going to materialize something for you. We believe in the Lord and we pray the Lord's will, but we sometimes have no idea what God is going to do. These people believe that they can materialize something with their belief.
In a hotel where he had gone to speak, and this is back when the keys were keys. And he's getting ready for service that day. And he heard the key in the door. He said, oh man, they've given somebody the key to my room. And he turned and to look, to step out of the bathroom to look. And the ceiling had disappeared. Mm. So he stepped into...
Whoa. Okay, so... So dude's in the bathroom, okay? Creepy dude, preacher dude's in the bathroom. Walks out of the bathroom, hears the keys, because apparently angels use keys to open doors. They can't walk through the doors... They have to have keys to get in the doors. So apparently the angels materialized a key. Stuck the key in the door. And then opened the door. So he could hear it.
He was in a hotel... where he had gone to speak, and this is back when the keys were keys. And he's getting ready for service that day. And he heard the key in the door. He said, oh, man, they've given somebody the key to my room. And he turned and to look, to step out of the bathroom to look. And the ceiling had disappeared. Mm. So he stepped into the spirit. Mm. And here were two angels so big, if the ceiling hadn't disappeared, he would not have been able to see their shoulder and head.
Wow.
Okay. So these angels were so big that they couldn't see the ceiling. So the ceiling had disappeared and he stepped into the spirit. Well, that sounds a lot like astral projection. It sounds a lot like out-of-body experiences and stepping into the fourth dimension. That's what it sounds like. Now, you might ask me, do I believe his story? I think I do. I don't believe he's making it up. I just don't think it was I don't think they were angels. I think they were devils.
Wow. They're standing there armed. He said, who are you? They said, see, we're your prosperity angels.
Whoa, wait a minute. See how he just pointed to the scriptures? He points to the scriptures and then he says, see, right there, that's what it is. He just, in your mind, he just he basically equated his story with the scriptures, except that's not what the scriptures just said. That's not what the scripture just said. These are your prosperity angels. Which group of angels are prosperity angels? I don't remember seeing that group in the scriptures. Let me say something to you, and I mean this. Lord, if you have to, give me all the sorrow and pain and the things that I've had to go through in this life, if it keeps me from ever being like that, and I'm not exalting myself above any man, what I'm saying to you is, God, our prayer should be, God, don't ever turn us over, please, to that. Don't ever let us wake up one day, dear Father in heaven, and believe that's okay, that that's us. I thank God for the trials that he's put me through because I'm not there. I've got other flaws and other things that he's still working on me. But I'm telling you what, you and I ought to thank Almighty God that we are not given over to that deception. Do you understand what I mean by that? And praise God for it.
We've come to help you get that money, or something like that.
So these prosperity angels come to him, this guy in the hotel room, and say, we come to get that money for you. First of all, doesn't anybody think how freaky that is? I mean, if you were sitting in that room and you walked out and like 65-foot angels are standing there, there's no roof there on your hotel room, you just done stepped into Trippy World and all of a sudden these two prosperity angels, so to speak, are armed. We're your prosperity angels. It's like Lurch. You rang? It's like their lurch. It's like their I Dream of Genie. They're like, you rub the genie bottle three times and the genie comes out. By the way, why is it three times? Just think about that for a second. Anyway. I mean, I don't know where that is, Mike, but I know you could find it for me and send it to me again. But this is triggering strong spiritual warfare.
And he just stood there. He said, well, what are you waiting for? They said, the command. He said, go, and they disappeared.
Wow. Right, okay, so when are you and I commanding angels? The Bible says we shall judge angels. We shall judge angels. Where does the Bible one day, but where does the Bible say that you and I are commanding angels now to go do our bidding? Why would you need to pray to God Almighty if you had angels that are doing everything for you? Unashamed Workman brings something up, says it talks about the charismatic movement. I've already done a broadcast about Rome and the charismatic movement, if you go back. Amen.
Wow. Now, just a few days later, not all that long.
So remember, let me back up, because he commands these angels. And they say, well, we're just waiting for you to command us.
They're standing there armed. He said, who are you? They said, see, we're your prosperity angels. We've come to help you get that money, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he just stood there. He said, well, what are you waiting for? They said, the command. He said, go! And they disappeared.
Wow.
Now, just a few days later, not all that long, they were up against this note. No bank would help them because, that bank wanted that property back really bad. And he and his lawyer were standing there in Ed's office, and his secretary came in and said, there's a man out here. And he said, no, I said, I don't see. She said, you better talk to him. This man came in there, he still had his jogging suit on. I'm talking about keeping the covenant.
Yes,
and
sir.
Boy, if any man was a covenant man, it's Ed Dufresne.
Yes,
I mean, this guy was bold as a lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So he's saying this guy is like Christ. This guy, he was bold as a lion of the tribe of Judah. He just blasphemed God.
And this man still had his jogging suit on. He said, now, first of all, I don't like you. I've heard you preach and you scare me. But he said, I was jogging. He's a lawyer. And something told me to come bring you $300,000. So here. Well, what something was it? It's one of those giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you hear what he said? He said it was one of those giants. He said it was one of them giants. That's what he said. Now you think about that.
And he's telling him about these encounters with Bigfoot that he's having.
The Nephilim, 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 Nephilim.
And I lifted up my sword.
Crazy. And I was like, and he was like, and I was like, I'm getting my shotgun. I'm getting my 45.
Tent spiritual warfare.
Give me my gun. Give me my 50 cal. Give me my Uzi, whatever I got. Just give me something, and I'm blowing these things away.
Okay.
So you aimed your prayer. What are you, like a prayer? You got a prayer bazooka? You got a prayer missile?
I aimed in strong spiritual warfare. I aimed my prayers at that side. Boom, and I fired.
This sounds like intense spiritual warfare.
He did spiritual warfare.
Prayer and strong spiritual warfare, I guess. Whatever that is.
Those are the key words. Strong spiritual warfare. I'm going to take my guns, and I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to go home. I'm going home. I'm not sitting in the woods with a bunch of whatever they are. And we did strong spiritual warfare. Strong spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I did strong warfare.
Because we're in strong spiritual warfare.
Go home. If there was some Bigfoot crazy psychotic devilish creature out there that was growling and grunting and backmasking Led Zeppelin songs to me all night, I'm not going to sleep, bro.
No way, dude.
I'm leaving. I'm not sleeping with that thing there. We both did intense spiritual warfare. And I saw golden roosters. When Bigfoot didn't touch me and left me alone, and I did strong spiritual warfare. Bigfoot ran.
The struggle is real. That's the truth, man. They won't be hairy. They won't stink.
Intense spiritual warfare.
Glory in the upper bowl, and he shoots the glory at him. Glory in the lower bowl. And he... What? Taiyukin! This Bigfoot was talking to my mind telepathically. Okay, that it was in a biological container. What are hoops?
Like, whoop, whoop.
Oh, okay, okay.
Still the best ever, man. Still the funniest ever. Still great. All right. Now, did you notice some things he talked about telepathically? That here's this angel is telling this giant is telling this guy to write that check for $300,000.
Angel hearkening, Ed Dufresne's a covenant man, and he was pronouncing the word of God. He was trained by Kenneth Hagin.
Yes, sir.
And me.
Yes, sir.
He was trained by Kenneth Hagin and me.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that something? And that those things were so big that the top of the roof, they wouldn't have seen but about here up. And they're standing there armed.
Doing nothing until he gave the command.
He said, what are you waiting on? They said, the command.
Yeah, so all of God's angels are standing around all day. And they're waiting for you to give the command.
And he said, go. And they were gone. And he went right straight to that jogger. Wow. Then he came to another meeting. And then he began to get involved. And so they actually owed $500,000, but this $300,000 got the bank off of them. And we're talking about those who excelling strength, kick, man, heart.
Do you see how he does it? How he tries to make it all biblical? He tries to make it all biblical. Gets down there in his Bible and acts like he's really, you know, he's really preaching the Bible.
Those that keep his covenant and remember his commandment, remember his word.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Speaking the word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all of his benefits.
That's not what it says. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's what it says. See how he's twisting it?
So, this man then came back to another meeting. And they were, the the preacher, I believe this is right, but anyway, that was there, was he was receiving an offering to get this building paid off. And they still owed $200,000 on the building. They wanted out of debt. And the lawyer is standing here in front. And this, I don't know, just something like that. View, is there anyone else that'd like to give? And he pointed right at that man and said, "What about you?" And Ed's trying to get his attention. He's already given. He's already, but he's not looking at him. He pointed right at that man. The man came up there and he said, "I have to repent. I miss God." He said, "The Lord told me 500,000 and I didn't bring but 300,000.
Look at
Here's
that.
The other 200.
Look at that.
Wow. The angel was still.
You really have to be, never mind, I'm going to try to be nice, to the women that just went wow in that room. I mean, seriously. Let me show you something. For of this sort, look what it says here about these men. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust."
Still bugging him.
See, God didn't do it partially or halfway. He did it the whole way.
Yeah, that angel told him, just kept telling him, just kept putting it in his mind. Now, reverse that. That's the way the devil gets you to sin. He just keeps putting it on your mind.
That's
what
it.
Happened to Job? The only sin in that book is curse God.
Actually, the Bible says that let me show you something. Yes, Satan is the tempter. But he uses what he has. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's not the other way around. He's not drawn away and enticed. He is drawn away of his own lust and then enticed. It's already in his heart.
To your face. And he kept putting it on people's mind. He's afraid his children were going to curse God. His wife did it. She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" It's in the mind. That's the only way the devil can operate, is put it in your mind. That, hey, you know, if you get it some morning.
See, he twists the truth. Part of that is true what he's saying, right? Part of that is true what he's saying. Because the devil does put things in our mind. Because he watches us.
What happened to Job? The only sin in that book is curse God to your face. And he kept putting it on people's mind. He's afraid his children were going to curse God. His wife did it. She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" It's in the mind. That's the only way the devil can operate, is put it in your mind. That, hey. You know, if you get it some morning, you're driving to work and you keep getting this notion, like, you know, I need to send Brother Copeland $100. Hey, call me. Now, my angels are saying, hey.
Here's the number.
Yeah.
Go online. Here's a website. Yeah.
Now, hey.
He just did exactly what he's going to say. Watch. He's going to say something about manipulation, but he just did that.
You have to be careful with this.
Yes, sir.
You can get in the...
You got to be careful with this mojo. You know, you got to be careful with this magic. You must use your powers for good, not for evil.
Send Brother Copeland $100. Hey, call me. Now, my angels are saying, hey.
Here's the number.
Yeah.
Go online. Here's a website. Yeah.
Now, hey. You have to be careful with this.
Yes, sir.
You can get in a ditch on this thing. And you start trying to manipulate that. No, you don't touch that. Now, all over the Bible, that authority is there. We have, through the authority of the believer, and this authority covenant in that name. Mm-hmm. Not just over devils.
Listen, the name of Jesus is not a talisman. The name of Jesus is not a talisman. In the name of Jesus, right? Means by the authority of Jesus. What he's making it out to be, look what it says here. Remember, prayer guidelines. We're to pray not our will, but thy will be done. Right? In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus isn't going to ask anything for us in the Father's name. Didn't ask for us to be able to be rich in the Father's name. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I come forth from the Father, and I am come into the world, and I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's according to the will of God. Right? It's upon the authority of the name of Jesus. But Jesus didn't ask for riches untold. Look at the prayer guidelines that are here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We are not to be asking for anything. You're not to ask God to help you seduce some woman. You're not to ask God to help you to do something that is contrary to the revealed will of God. You're supposed to ask things according to the will of God upon the authority of Christ in the name of Christ. But it's not some talisman that you go command angels in to go do your bidding for you to get you wealth. But that's what they treat the name of Jesus like.
But over the angels, the moving of the discerning of spirits,
yes, sir,
is not just seeing devils. The discerning of spirits occurred that day, and Ed Dufresne saw those angels.
That's right. Brother Hagin used to see in service. So many times I was with him. He'd just be preaching along and all of a sudden just pause and stop, and his hands start doing that.
Yeah.
And he'd just look up. Well, all right, I'll do that now. And later we said, Brother Hagin, what was that about? He said, well, I saw two angels stand there pointing at that man.
Yeah.
And then they told me instructions.
I remember that word. There was an angel that flew from one side to the other. Then another angel that flew. And they were flying back and forth during camp meeting. Mm. And so he just repeated what they said. Well, nobody saw him but him. But he saw him.
Amen. He did. This.
Wow. So here's this guy saying that basically... And we talked about this with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin taught Kenneth Copeland. And he basically says that, well, that... Kenneth Copeland basically says that Hagin saw those angels. That's a lie that Paul was not saved when he had the thorn in his side. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he was saved at that point. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. If you're going to lie, I'm going to call you out as a messenger of Satan and a liar. Somebody on that thread over there is saying, SG is saying Paul was not saved when he had the thorn in his side. Not true. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. SG, you are a fool and a heretic. And you can kindly escort yourself off of here. I will not let you spread heresy on this thread. You can go bye-bye. Goodbye. I don't put up with that nonsense. If they want to go do that somewhere else, you let them, but they ain't doing it here.
Psalm is from David. David understood covenant.
I'm going to tell you very clearly, I absolutely 1,000% hate the charismatic movement. I hate every false way. I hate the Jezebel spirit it produces in women. I hate the fact that they flap with their tongues because they run their mouth enough anyway. I hate the fact that they treat people the way that they do. And I hate the absolute garbage that they spew from devils.
David over and over and over. David hosted the Holy Spirit in the time of the law for 33 years in his reign.
Isn't that? Say that again.
He hosted the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle of David is a tent meeting, is what it was. There wasn't a temple. But the Ark of the Covenant was out there for anybody to see. The praise and worship happened 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 33 years. Interesting.
Did you see him do that whole thing? I'm not into hand signs, but I'm going to tell you something right now. That dude right there, he's a little witch. He's a little witch.
Number, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And he's talking about 33, the number 33, and the way he's using it. The way he's using it as witchcraft.
I believe Adam was in the garden for 33 years prior to...
What proof do you have of that? Now listen to what he says.
Paul. To fulfill, Jesus, to fulfill that number of that. And this is how long David reigned. And in the last days, I'll restore the, again, the tabernacle of David, which had fallen. Now David did some...
Well...
David ran, actually was king in Israel for, or king over Judah for 7 years, and then 33 years added was the United Kingdom. So he reigned a total of 40 years.
I've never heard that before. Yeah. Thank you for it. But that has to be true. The first Adam had to set the pattern
for the second.
For the second one.
Oh, brother.
He had to go 33 and a half years. Mm-hmm. So the second one, the pattern was laid. Had to be, Dave, or Greg. I never saw that in my life.
Yeah. David understood something about covenant. When he grabbed the two, when he grabbed the stones for that Goliath, mm-hmm. he grabbed extras. He didn't grab extras in case he missed. He knew that he had a brother. And there were other giants in the land. He was ready. We'll get them all. He was ready for that. There's something very interesting when he took... We talked about this earlier
so
in the week.
So is it me, or is this like the most confusing bunch of mumbo-jumbo that you've ever heard? Like, there, it, none of it makes any sense. It's like they just totally have, like, circular reasoning. They go around and around. Is it me, or am I missing... Like, I'm just not tapped into their witchy poo, so I don't get it because I'm actually saved and I believe the Bible and I think it's just a bunch of garbled up mumbo jumbo mess. Nothing is being taught there.
The healing of the land. There's a really troubling passage in 2 Samuel chapter 21. But because he'd...
Now, this is a type of God that... God so loved the world, he had to give his son. Gave the best he had in behalf of that covenant.
And he did.
And he did.
And he believed a lie that somebody had told him all those years. At this table, you can't see my feet. With the Gibeonites, because Saul had done unrighteously. He'll make an atonement with him and heal that land.
Wow, these guys are nuts. Okay, so I'm pretty much done with that. Let's see. Let me go on. I want to click here, and then I'm going to get to the witchcraft part of this. Well,
hello.
You've already seen most of the witchcraft part of this. Enter wit, but I'm going to show you what witches say. Here's what they called one of their latest episodes here last week. Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Pastor George Pearson is back with us, and we've already had a good time talking about supernatural provision.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to increase, if you don't want supernatural provision, if you don't want the blessing, we'll go back to sleep. But if you're interested in blessing and increase, whatever, healing, whatever it is you need. Wake up.
Wake up.
Ho-ha.
You've heard it here first. Wake up.
So you're going to see, like, I watched, like, a couple of these, and these two, like, are serious, like, Milli Vanilli one-liners. Some of you won't know what that means. That's good. But they're, like, one-hit wonders. And they give these one-hit wonders back. And these charismatics, they're like, ooh, wow, that's such a deep saying right there. And I'm like, you didn't even say anything.
Yeah. You know, Gloria, I so enjoy doing these broadcasts with you because as I prepare these messages and then come in and talk to you about them, you add so much more to it. And I've got several of your quotes in.
You add so much more to it, Gloria. Well, you're a pretty worthless preacher. I'll tell you that right now. Because if you need that woman to add to your sermon or whatever it is you call yourself what you're doing, it's pretty worthless.
This one today.
Good.
But this is day number 388 of our prosperity series that we...
Someone listened to 388 days of this.
We've been teaching. And this outline, as well as all of the outlines that we've taught... All 388 are available to you on kcm.org. Go to the picture of Glory and me, click onto it, and then you'll be able to access these outlines as well as the entirety of our collection of outlines that we've done over all of these years. And we have people, Gloria, that have followed us from day one. They have been watching, listening, prospering. And as a matter of fact, ooh, I want to do this right now. Here's a testimony from someone who has been watching us. This is Patricia from Ohio. And Patricia writes us and she says, I was exercising my faith for a new debt-free house. I studied Gloria and Pastor.
Now, I want you to listen to this, okay? So what they're teaching is witchcraft, that if you say it, that you can have this house.
Pastor George's material entitled, How to Believe God for a House. Now we did.
How to Believe God for a House. Wow.
It was a 2-week series that we did on how to believe God for a house. We've got the product. It's available for anyone who's interested.
I'd forgotten that.
And we really dug into that. Such great scriptures in that series, Gloria, that we were able to bring. But she said, I studied the workbook, the CDs, and the scriptures night and day. I wrote the scriptures in my notebook. I did my daily confessions and prayed in the spirit for an hour a day. I listed my house. It took 8 months to sell. Within 24 hours from the day I moved out, I was given land to build my home on and signed the papers for my new home. I moved into my new home last October and paid it off in November. Glory
to God.
Isn't that tremendous?
You know, this is something that's been...
Wow.
That's been coming up in my thinking. Don't prepare for a long battle of something.
Look at that.
Whether it's healing or paying off a bill or paying off buying a house, believe you receive it. When do you do? When does the Bible say you believe you receive it? When you pray.
When you pray.
You take it. And that's my house. That's my house now. I got it.
That's my house now. I got it. That's mine. That's my house now. And I just pray for it and I got it. I just believe that I receive it. Don't prepare for a long battle. You're going to get it right away.
Take it. What I did myself when I was believing for a house.
What I did when I was believing for one.
Took it literally, and I began to just put the bedroom over here and the living room over here draw out my plan.
Yeah.
I'm still living in that house today. That's been a lot of years
ago.
Hallelujah.
Now, what you just said, that's very interesting. I've never heard that before.
Well, tell it to me so I'll remind me.
Don't prepare for a long battle when you pray.
That's right.
That's good, Gloria. That's really good. Prepare.
Why is that good? What if God has a long battle for you? Do you see how crazy this is? It's just the most nuttiest thing I've ever heard.
For a quick victory.
Amen. That's good. You could add that.
I think that's a keeper.